Recently, I had a discussion with someone who is a bit discouraged about the traditional Catholic world. And one thing this person said was that most children who are raised in traditional Catholic families leave the faith when they become adults. Now, this statement is not true, but it's certainly true that a much greater percentage of children raised by traditional Catholic parents do leave the faith than we would expect. Certainly the fault of an apostasy like that lies with the person who chooses to leave the church anytime this happens. But it's also the case that usually when people who are raised in the faith decide to abandon it as adults, it is because of a problem with the way that they were raised. And so I started to think about all the people that I've seen over the years and all the cases I've seen of families that did either well or poorly in raising their children. I've spent most of my adult life as a priest, and I've been a traditional Catholic almost since I was born. I've spent at least several years each in seven different parishes around the country, and I've known hundreds of traditional Catholics. And I thought about all that, all the things that I've seen, and what seems to work and what doesn't work, as far as raising children that will persevere in the faith. This is something of the greatest possible importance for parents, who will one day have to render an account to God for the souls of their children. And if they neglect to raise their children properly, and their children leave the faith as a result, God is going to punish parents who do this very severely. He may even send them to hell, depending on how grave their negligence was. The statement that most traditional Catholic children leave the faith when they grow up, apart from the fact that it's not literally true, it falsely implies that this occurrence is a random event, or it's the result of chance. But from what I've seen, I have definitely not seen this outcome as something random. But on the contrary, there are various factors in raising a family that pretty reliably can tell you whether the children in that family will persevere as adults. And I wanted to go over these factors today. In fact, there's so much to say on this subject that I'm going to do a two-part sermon. So this is only the first half of what I will say on the subject today. The best way to explain this is to talk about the two kinds of traditional Catholic families, the good one and the bad one. We'll see what each one is like, and then all of you can see which of those patterns you fit into. Good traditional Catholic families have a very high retention rate. I would say that fewer than 10% of the children in good families of the kind that I am going to describe ever leave the faith or stop going to church or receiving the sacraments. Whereas the bad families, I'll describe them too, the failure rate with them is maybe half or more. One of the most obvious indicators of the good traditional Catholic family is the fact that they have many children, that they see the parents see their role as married people to cooperate with God in bringing more people into the world. And usually, with only rare exceptions, good traditional Catholic families have numerous children, even as many as six or eight or more. And the parents give themselves wholeheartedly to the raising of their children at tremendous personal sacrifice. Whereas bad traditional Catholic families rarely have more than a few children, maybe three or four. And you see also that good families love to attend Mass, and they bring their children to Mass as often as they can. Whereas bad traditional Catholic families only go to Mass when they are obliged to do so under pain of sin. And they rarely, if ever, attend Mass or go to church on a day when they are not gravely obliged to do so. The difference here is that good parents love to be in the house of God, and they come as often as they can, even coming to an extra Mass or two every week. Good families will wake up on a Saturday morning and say, I have the day off. I am going to go to Mass today and assist at the Holy Sacrifice and bring my children so that all of us will worship God and receive His graces. Whereas bad parents wake up on Saturday morning or their day off, whenever it is, and they say, I am tired and I could go to Mass, but I need my rest instead. Good parents will bring their children to church at least once every week outside of days of obligation, or at least a couple of times a month, when the law of the church doesn't oblige them to do so, whereas bad families will do this once or twice a year, or even not at all. Of all the indicators of the difference between a good family and a bad one, that is one of the most reliable. Now, someone might wonder, but why should we come to Mass when we are not obliged? The answer is that our relationship with God should not be treated as simply a matter of obligation. If we look at our relationship with God as only a matter of asking, what am I absolutely required to do, because I am not going to do anything more than that, then we can be sure that we are of the kind of family that raises children who will probably not practice the faith as adults. What happens with children who are raised this way is that they see religion as a matter of obligation, because that is what their parents taught them by their example, by telling them that the family only goes to church when they are obliged under pain of sin. The children then don't see religion as a matter of love, love of God. And so human nature is that we don't like obligations. And if we can skip obligations that we don't like without suffering any consequence, usually we do that. And so, therefore, when children who have been raised to see religion only as a matter of obligation reach the age when their parents can't force them to go to Mass anymore, they stop going immediately. Because who likes having to do things that they're only required to do? Whereas children in good families who could see from their parents' example that they love the house of God and the Mass and the liturgy, they grow up appreciating these things as well, and they continue it therefore as adults. This applies not just to going to church at all, but also to what people do when they are at church. So bad traditional Catholic families show up for Mass when they are obliged. They are often late for Mass or just barely on time, and they leave right afterwards. They also rarely make any attempt to help take care of the house of God. They don't clean the church. They rarely serve Mass. They don't sing in the choir or help in any way with the maintenance and operation of the chapel. But on the contrary, good traditional Catholic families teach their sons from a young age to serve Mass, and they instill them with a sense of awe and love of the altar and the sanctuary. And they put their daughters in the choir so they can worship God by singing His praises. And these families help out by cleaning the church and volunteering when they can. A lot of times people see that sort of thing, like helping out around the church, as something that's only of a practical nature. Somebody has to do this or that task at the church, and people think, oh, thank goodness there's someone else who is going to do this instead of me, so I don't have to do it. But this mentality is completely wrong. Any work that is done for the church is done for God. And to help out to maintain the house of God is work that is done for God Himself. It is a great act of love of God to take care of God's house. And when people are not interested in taking care of God's house, or they are happy that other more devout people are willing to do it instead of them, it shows that they don't care that much about God. And people's children see their attitude in this, and they see that God is not really worth their time. Whereas on the contrary, parents who teach their children, we have to take care of God's house, they learn that God is someone that we owe our time to, because he died for us on the cross, and we love him because of this, and therefore we do everything that we can for him. This is most especially true of the service of the liturgy. The greatest worship that we can give to God is in the liturgy, it's in the Mass. So parents who don't make their children serve Mass or sing in the choir are teaching them that the liturgy is not that important, and they shouldn't be surprised if their children even abandon attendance at the liturgy at all when they grow up. When it comes to how people educate their children, there's also a great difference between good and bad traditional Catholic families. The good families would never dream of putting their children in a public school because they know that such places are designed to corrupt children's souls. Bad families will often put their children in public schools and will even make various excuses to the priest, trying to pretend that there is no danger to their children's souls there, when everyone knows perfectly well that those places are sewers of immorality and attacks on the faith. A couple of years ago, I heard a very edifying story about an excellent traditional Catholic family that lived in Canada. About 2 years ago, the evil Canadian government passed laws requiring parents to put their children in public schools. So this family refused to obey this wicked law. The family received various threatening notices from the government in the mail, which they threw in the garbage, until finally the police came to their house. On a Friday afternoon, the police came and threatened the family to kidnap their children if they would not put them in the public school. You can imagine that most people would bow to this kind of pressure, but they refused to do so. The father said to the police that it was a Friday afternoon and people wanted to get started with their weekend, so could they just come back on Monday and they could continue that conversation? So the police agreed to this, and this man spent that weekend fleeing town. He sent his children to various relatives to hide them from this wicked government and its minions, rather than expose his children to the dangers of the public schools. In desperation, he eventually fled to the United States. He stayed here in hiding for a while. And the last I heard was that he moved his entire family permanently to Europe to get away from the public school laws of Canada. This is a man who takes his responsibilities seriously, and he takes the public schools seriously, and who he placed his children's souls above everything else, to the extent that he was willing to move his family permanently to the other side of the world to protect their innocence and their virtue. This is an example of a good traditional Catholic family. And we can only think with fear of the traditional Catholics in this country who don't live under any of those sorts of laws, who choose voluntarily to place their children in the public schools. What are these parents going to say to God at their judgment? The good traditional Catholic family is very careful also about what entertainment they allow their children to see. They don't allow their children to watch movies that they haven't seen themselves and can be sure that they don't contain any incitement to sin, which is most movies nowadays. Whereas bad traditional Catholic families exercise very little supervision over what their children do as far as they watch. Or they will even, God forbid, allow their children to have a computer in their room that has access to the internet. Parents who allow their children to access the internet unsupervised are, to put it simply, probably going to go to hell. There was a priest friend of mine who asked me recently if it was a mortal sin for parents to allow their children to look at the internet without being supervised. And I had to think about it for a while, and I eventually told him I wasn't sure, and that one could certainly make a case that it was. When we think about the incredible filth that anyone can find within 10 seconds of picking up a device that has access to the internet. Things that are so depraved that they will destroy a child's innocence forever and cause permanent spiritual and even psychological damage. It is hard to imagine how any parent can allow such a thing to go on in their home. Parents who would never dream of leaving a loaded gun on the table or allow their children to swim in a pool without an adult being present. Allow them to use the internet even outside their presence. I grew up during the beginning of the internet age in the 1990s, and my parents did not allow even a connection to the internet in our home. Until well after me and my brothers and sisters had grown up and most of us had moved out already. It wasn't until the mid-2000s that we got a connection to the internet in the house at all. But none of us complained about this because we knew the kinds of things that were on the internet, and we knew that our parents couldn't allow access to such abominations in our home. Certainly, when people become adults, though, they have to be responsible for their own usage of such things. But children must be protected by their parents from the evils of the world. And this is a grave obligation. And therefore, parents that allow their children to access the internet without supervision are exposing their souls and the souls of their children to the gravest danger. Such parents would never imagine allowing their children to walk into a bookstore of filthy literature or dirty magazines, but they have no problem allowing their children to access a device that can show them within seconds things that are far worse than could ever exist in any bookstore in the world. Another important difference between the good traditional Catholic family and the bad one is prayer life in the home. In good families, the family prays the rosary together as a family every day. And anyone in the family who has other commitments that interfere with the family rosary, they are made by the parents to cancel those commitments so they can pray the family rosary instead. That takes a higher priority than anything else that anyone in the family has to do. This has been explained so many times, even by Our Lady herself, how important this is, and explained also by the popes of the church, one after another, and by so many saints and doctors of the church, that it seems incredible to have to say it again. And yet it is so true that families that pray the rosary together every evening have a much greater likelihood of persevering, because they obtain graces from Our Lady, and they obtain her special protection that everyone desperately needs. The bad traditional Catholic family has very little time for prayer together, and the children tell their parents that they have other appointments or commitments that override their ability to attend family prayers, and the parents allow them to make those excuses and to absent themselves from family prayer. Or worse still, the parents themselves make no attempts to bring the family together for the rosary every day at all. It's no wonder that families in which the parents don't make their children pray together as a family every day will receive no blessing from God and will not persevere in the faith. Good traditional Catholic families don't allow their children to associate with friends who go to public schools or who are irreligious because they understand that this will corrupt their morals. Whereas bad traditional Catholic families will allow their children to associate with whoever they want. And they will often make excuses that they know their children's friends and know that they are all good people, even though they are not traditional Catholics, and apparently aren't aware that, of course, that every child is going to act good in the presence of an adult, and you can't really judge someone's character by that criterion. Bad traditional Catholic parents will also not teach their children the catechism, or will spend only a minimum amount of time going over it every week. At most, they will bring their children to catechism class after Mass, where their children are taught by a volunteer who seemingly has greater concern for their children's souls than the parents themselves. And they will consider that enough. The parents will usually not quiz their children on their catechism questions or ensure that the children have done their homework in the class, because they are not all that concerned about how well their children learn the faith. On the other hand, good traditional Catholic families closely supervise their children's study of the faith. They quiz them on their catechism questions diligently to ensure they are learning them properly. And they will even go beyond that and listen to sermons, for example, in the car when they are going on family trips. So their children will learn more about the faith and, in fact, learn as much as possible. When the children of good traditional Catholic families reach adulthood, they begin to look for a spouse, assuming they don't have a religious vocation. And good traditional Catholic families nearly always have at least one of their children enter the religious life and dedicate their whole life to God. Whereas, obviously, bad traditional Catholic families hardly ever have one of their children become a priest or a nun, because they never taught their children that God was any sort of priority. But when good traditional Catholic children reach adulthood and they want to find a spouse, they know that since religion is the most important thing in life, that they need a spouse who believes that as well. They are only willing to marry someone who is a traditional Catholic as well, because they know that only another traditional Catholic like themselves can lead them to heaven. And that is what they want more than anything else out of their marriage. And very often this takes great personal sacrifice. People who want a traditional Catholic spouse often have to travel great distances to meet other people in other chapels, and very often they have to be willing to move permanently to another part of the country because there is no traditional Catholic that they can marry where they live. They leave behind their parents and family and friends to follow their intended spouse, someone they can raise a devout traditional Catholic family with. On the contrary, children from bad traditional Catholic families don't look for a spouse among traditional Catholics. Instead, they follow their whims and desires, and they find whoever they like, and then their parents or the priest tells them they can only get married if that person becomes a traditional Catholic. And so their future spouse goes through a convert class and usually converts. But many times it's doubtful whether their intention in converting was truly a spiritual acceptance of the faith, or whether they only went through that process to please someone that they wanted to marry. But either way, it is extremely rare for any people who get married in those circumstances to end up with the good traditional Catholic family that I am describing. Bad traditional Catholic children who marry a convert almost always end up with another bad and minimalistic traditional Catholic family. This is something to think about for traditional Catholics who are at that age to be looking for a spouse. Yes, it takes time and work and sacrifice to find someone that can help you raise a strong and devout family, but that is the only way to arrive at that result. So from years of experience, these are the two types of traditional Catholic families that I've seen, and these patterns are predictable and consistent. And while this is certainly a spectrum to some extent, these are two extremes that people will generally fall between, to some extent, nevertheless, it's almost always obvious which of these two categories every traditional Catholic family falls into. And everyone needs to think about their own family today and which pattern they belong to. Now, someone might be wondering, but this is a very high standard. We can't live like this in the world today in the way that you described. How are we supposed to do this? The answer is very simple. We need God's grace to practice virtue, and the reason the bad traditional Catholic families don't have the grace to be better is because they have neglected the means of grace. They have not come to Mass the way they should have, or received the sacraments, or helped their children to receive the sacraments the way they should have. They have not contributed to the house of God in the way that they should have either. They have been stingy with God with their time, and they have not made their family pray to bring God's grace upon all of them. So if people refuse to use the means of grace, the Mass, the sacraments, the rosary, and so on, then they shouldn't wonder that they are being deprived of God's graces. But this tells us the solution at the same time. And what people should do is to gradually improve their spiritual life and start bringing their children to Mass, even on days when they are not obliged, and do more for God, and pray the rosary every day. Then God will do more for them. People like this should also think about the fact that life is short. We are only here for a short time, and we only have a short amount of time to show our love for God. We will never find any sort of happiness in this world. We might as well not waste our time looking for that here. The only happiness we will ever find is in virtue and in serving God. This is something I can definitely vouch for, too. Of all the people I've known, the happiest people are the ones who belong to the good traditional Catholic families. They have found a measure of contentment in this world that the world can't give us. Whereas lax people are always unhappy and discontented. But we have to change our habits gradually, so people should gradually improve the areas that I've described. Except for the things that are maybe really bad that have to be fixed immediately. And older people that have seen their children fall away from the faith probably recognize also a lot of what I'm describing here too. That they probably made a lot of these same mistakes in raising their own children. What those people should do now is do penance and pray for their children and ask God to forgive them for the neglect that they showed in raising their children. A lot of people whose children fell away at Vatican II did so because their parents were not watching over what they were being taught, and they allowed modernists to corrupt their children's faith. They didn't even look at what their children were being taught in the so-called Catholic schools. And they gravely neglected their obligation as parents to instruct their children in the faith, and so the modernists came along and took advantage of these parents' neglect. But it is parents who have the primary obligation to instruct their children in the faith. But most of all, no one should ever think that doing the minimum is enough to save our souls. This is a misconception that we get from other basic minimums. For example, if someone can pass their driving exams at the DMV and the driving test, they get a driver's license, and then if they observe the basic minimums of the laws of the road, they can assume that they will probably not get into a crash when they're driving. This is probably true. But with the minimums of the church, those are not set based on that criterion. They are set at a different threshold. The church decides what minimum requirements it makes, not based on the minimum that is necessary for someone to get to heaven, but instead on what is the minimum that it can make people do that won't cause more harm than good if people break the law. There is the obvious example of the Easter duty. The church used to require people to receive Holy Communion 3 times a year. But gradually people refused to do this. And so they ended up committing even more mortal sins by not fulfilling this obligation. And therefore the church reduced the requirements to receive Holy Communion only 1 time a year. This doesn't mean that the church considers that someone who receives Holy Communion only 1 time a year is doing what is sufficient to save his soul. Quite the contrary. When the church requires people to receive Holy Communion only once a year, she is saying that she really can't make people do any more than that, or they would likely just violate the law. So no one should ever consider that doing the minimum that the church requires is going to get them to heaven. No one has ever given any guarantee that the minimum requirements of the church are going to get anyone to heaven. And that goes for Mass on Sundays and holy days, the days of fast and abstinence, and all the other requirements of the church. All we have to do is look at our Lord himself and his love of us. Did he do only the minimum for us? Of course not. He poured out the last drop of his blood for our souls. So how can we think that we can do only the bare minimum for him and save our souls? But let us use the means of grace that we have. The only difficulty in the spiritual life comes from not using the means of grace to obtain the graces that we need to do what we need to do. Let us be generous with God, and only then will we save our souls. And if not, we will be lost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.